Well, hello, everybody. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Listening right there to Open Door Worship. And that song is a song called Advent. I actually wrote that song, and that's me playing lead guitar. You didn't know I was a rock star, did you? Now you know. Now you know. No, actually, it's a miracle that the guys in the band actually let me play at all anymore. They don't like it, but I'm the boss. Too bad. Guys, welcome, my friends, to today's podcast. And I just want to just remind you that this is located. You can find all of these podcasts at troybrewer.com. You can also find it on my channel. We actually have a channel for it at troybrewer.tv. And if you're somebody that needs prayer, if you're somebody that wants to call in and go, dude, I need you to pray about this, or I need these resources, you can just call 877-413-0888. People are standing by right now. And I'm actually calling in because I'm sitting out at Third Stage Ranch in Glen Rose, Texas. I'm sitting out in my car, and I'm calling in to Open Door Church, which is in Burleson, Texas, and Mason is there. And then he's connecting us with my special guest today, who is actually in Detroit, Michigan. Wow, that's so cool, man, to be able to use the technology that we have today to talk across vast expanses. I think that Brother Daniel talked about this back in the day, and here we are. Friends, I really have a good friend of mine that's on today. I want to tell you how I met this guy. I was in Vacaville, California, at a Connect for the mission, which I go to every year, and have for years and years. My good friend Dave Crone actually hosts that amazing church out there. Has one of the best church teams of people anywhere. I'm just always so jealous of the team of leadership that he has out there. And one of the cool things about the Connect is you actually do get to connect with people. And our special guest today, I met him and then invited him out to the church. We instantly fell in love with him. He brings so much to the table. I'd like to say a great big hello and a great big thank you for joining us today to my brother, Drew Neal. Drew, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Pastor Troy. How are you, man?
Man, I'm fine as frog hair, as my grandfather used to say. He used to say, of course, he drank a lot, so there's not much telling about him. I probably shouldn't always quote him on everything, but nonetheless, I'm doing really good, man. I miss you. I haven't spoke to you in a while, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you today. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing very well. Everything in my world's going great. And, you know, not every season of your life are things gaining ground, you know. But this is one of those seasons where it is happening. A lot of fresh momentum in ministry and business and the different things we're working in, and loving our city really well, and the nations of the earth, man. So just what a time to be alive.
It's an incredible time, and this is a time of go, go, go. It's a big green light time, and one of the things, man, that I tell you, in the midst of advancing so quickly in this accelerated time frame that we're living in is, you know, there's not a lot of wisdom that comes with brand new revelation, and there's not a lot of fresh revelation that comes with old wisdom, and I'm actually looking for those two things right now. I'm actually going, Lord, I want to jump out there on this, but I don't want it to take 10 years for me to figure out what I'm doing. Help me, God, to have a strategy and a plan. Are you identifying with that?
I am. You know, I really believe that God is elevating the gift of words of wisdom right now in a way that we would see spirit and truth come together. Oftentimes you see in the church world that people camp in one of those two realms. They deal with the pursuit of truth or the pursuit of spirit. And what's exciting is that we don't have to settle for one or the other. We get both. And so I believe that that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the glue that brings these two worlds together. And, you know, wisdom is paradoxical, which is oftentimes two opposing ideas that when they come together, create a higher level of understanding. And brother, I'm passionate for that. We're seeing that. And I love that you're going after it too.
So you pastor a church in Detroit. What's the name of your church, brother?
Generation One. And
yeah, I don't know because you never invited me. I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, I'm sorry for the awkward moment, Drew. But I'm sorry.
I'm like sending an email to Miranda right now. Miranda, let's get this
generation done. Generation one, and tell me about the church that you pastor before we talk about what you're doing throughout the world.
Yeah, so basically, we are really passionate to destroy fatherless outcomes. We really believe that inside of the gospel is the capacity to solve the world's greatest problems. And really at the core of many of the world's greatest problems is this fatherless epidemic. And so we really believe there's four key areas of impact, and that's in literacy, leadership, family wholeness, and economic development. And that if we can really champion the cause of fathering or a multi-generational legacy, thus generation one, that we're really able to bring reformation into our city, that it would begin to look more like Jesus than it does today. And so we're a mighty tribe that is going after the presence of God. We're Davidic, we're Judah through and through. And yet we have this pursuit of wisdom that's allowing us to translate the mystery and the wonder and the grandeur of God as we're experiencing him into very tangible solutions, practical outcomes that really change the way that people live around us. And so we're going for it. We just celebrated 7 years, which is really exciting. And so we're just, and then I have the pleasure of traveling around the world and helping to meet with churches, businesses, and governments and really solve problems and using the gift of words of wisdom to say, you know, God, what is your thought towards this? What's your solution for this? What's your plan for this? And connecting people with the heart of God towards their nations, their people groups, or their customers, depending on what we're doing.
You know what, brother? One of the ways that now the Lord is always sending us out, and it's one of the things I like to talk about when it comes to church. Hey, we don't want to just be a come and see church. We also want to be a go and tell church. And all of us have territories that the Lord has sent us into that are huge. And for me, it's been, 7 girls out of sexual trafficking. It's been feeding people, and it's been take to the widows and orphans. But I tell you what, that's not the place so much that God has sent you to. He sent you to the people who go to those places. And now you're doing this huge work. You're actually bringing the prophetic to business, and you're also bringing the prophetic to the government. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting because there's been a movement, within the church of the restoration of words of knowledge, which has been really exciting. And I like to call words of knowledge supernatural facts. And but I believe the next great wave is going to be the restoration of words of wisdom, and which is different than words of knowledge, because words of wisdom is not this idea that I got more smart or I got smarter. You can tell I'm still trying to handle the English language here. It's not really connected to our intelligence. It's actually a divine intelligence that's connected to God's capacity to think. And then in our union with him, we get access to his knowledge because it's actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, so we have an access to the brilliance of heaven and through words of wisdom, which I define as supernatural how. So words of knowledge, supernatural facts, things that are currently true, and words of wisdom, supernatural strategy or supernatural how. And so I really believe inside of the heart of God is the solution for every problem. And so many people, and I know you have such a value for this, Pastor Troy, which I love, is that, most people have interpreted the gospel through their current cultural lens. And they miss the story arc. They miss, first century culture when they're interpreting Jesus's motivations. They don't know who he was talking to. They don't know the cultural conversations and why the questions are being asked. They don't know the 13 major people groups and sects and religions. And they're just not familiar. So we fill in the gaps with our own cultural interpretation. And because of it, we miss out on the depth and the breadth of what Jesus was communicating within unique scenarios. And so because of it, we miss out on his wisdom, and we end up creating very much cookie cutter solutions that look a lot more like me than they look like God. And so I think through words of wisdom, we're really able to take on the nature of God, communicate his heart, and really solve problems the way that Jesus did. Jesus didn't just come to solve the sin issue. He actually demonstrated how to translate the gospel into solutions for a first century Jew's everyday life.
Wow. My goodness. Okay. So now what you're doing is you're taking this and you're taking this throughout the world. We're talking about to the nations. We're talking about next level people that have influence on untold numbers of people throughout the world. Tell me, number one, how you were put into that position. And number two, what are you actually doing with these guys?
Well, you know, it's amazing that, you know, practically, obviously we can train ourselves to get ready for this in the sense of education and natural progressive growth, working with your mayor, then working with the senator, and then work from a senator to a national leader to, you know, kind of work up the ranks that kind of way. It hasn't been that way necessarily for me, although I have been getting myself ready. It's really been about accepting responsibility. And a great friend of ours, co-friend of ours, Dan McCollum, mentor of mine, he says it like this. He says, you don't gain the anointing for things that you're not willing to accept responsibility for. You know, and wow. I like to think of it simply like this. When are you ready to get married? Well, you're ready to get married when you accept responsibility for marriage. When are you ready to have kids? Well, you're ready to have kids when you're willing to accept responsibility for being a father, being a mother. And really, most of our challenges today in society are simply a mother or father heart away of accepting responsibility to encountering the solutions. And so it's just amazing that when you accept responsibility for things, there's a mantle that comes upon you with new authority, with new understanding. Revelation will always have your back when you're really wanting to represent the least of these in the earth. And really, a lot of the structures in the world today, the institutions, our governments, they oftentimes serve the interests of a few. And so when we have this reformational motivation to want to engage the problems that the world has today, whether it's in poverty, it's in, you know, financially or in food, or if it's a water issue, or if it's a civil rights issue, we simply lack people who want to accept responsibility for those problems and have the heart of the Father with the kingdom supernatural paradigm. And so, brother, I've just been showing up and accepting responsibility for a few problems, specifically in that literacy, leadership, family wholeness, and economic development categories. And as I've been making myself available to solve problems, people just introduce me to the next person, introduce me to the next person. And before you know it, I'm sitting in front of national leaders who have problems that are multi-generational and the time that they've been existing. And God is showing up, and in a moment, we're seeing breakthrough happen, and it's just absolutely remarkable.
You know, it reminds me of the scripture where King David steps up on the battlefield, and he says the way he announced that Goliath had to be defeated was, is there not a cause? You know, is there not anybody here willing to accept the responsibility of this? Like, are you kidding me? That giant will never be defeated until we accept this cause. Is there not a cause? The passion that actually goes with that. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people, bro, that just have a lot of theories. They can see it in the book, but they don't actually go after it and say, I want to see this lived out in front of me. I want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good within this area. Well, man, you've taken on some pretty dadgum scary stuff that would otherwise be really intimidating. And, man, you're hammering it and you're doing it. So you and your team, who are the kind of people that y'all are working with, and what are the kind of issues that you guys are trying to tackle?
Well, like locally here in Detroit, we really felt like there was an opportunity to bring stability into our economy. Detroit City was bankrupt. We've got 50 years of racial division. We have, you know, there's massive gaps between, you know, what legacy looks like between people groups here. And the Lord spoke to me that the missions movement is about to make a massive adjustment. And this is why we strategize the way that I'm about to share with you. But the idea was that, you know, missionaries dignified the world with identity and told them to start families. And then missionaries dignified the world with health and started hospitals. And then missionaries dignified the world with literacy and we started schools. And I believe we're about to dignify the world with financial legacy, and we're going to help them start businesses. And so I believe the next great move in missions is going to be that we learn how to help people start businesses and become financially independent and responsible for themselves so that they're not dependent on broken institutions and broken structures that aren't serving their interests. So that they can build the legacy that they're able to build in their own strength. And so much of this is just there's a need for development. There's a need for identity, a need for wholeness, a need for some leadership that will then help them get ready to take on entrepreneurial opportunities. And so, you know, people are poor passing over opportunities repeatedly because of the crisis they've come from, the pain they've endured, the generational, iniquity that's there. And so they're having to overcome a lot. And oftentimes people don't have the patience to walk that journey out with them. And so within African Americans in Detroit, actually all across the whole nation, 66% of all startups within the African-American community are started by African-American women. And so, and generally across all people groups in America, when a woman runs a business, she runs it 15% less profitable than if a man runs it. And so this isn't an intelligence issue. This is a development issue. And so we've brokered a partnership with an MIT professor who's created a version of his curriculum for people in developing countries, people in at-risk neighborhoods. And we are pipelining this curriculum, entrepreneurship development, into the city of Detroit so that we can raise up these women who are main breadwinners and they're out taking risk and pioneering. And we want to boost that profitability. We want to get them into max profitability. We want to increase the number of jobs they're able to get. We want to increase their capacity to create new legacy and wealth. And we're just destroying that poverty spirit while we do it. And our dream is to rebuild the middle class with African Americans in the city of Detroit, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. Brother, we just moved into on the Hebrew calendar. We just moved into the Hebrew year 5780. You know, I'm a numbers freak. You know that, and so, I love the prophetic study of numbers and how all that works. So the emphasis is on 80, and so it's a big eight. There's a big eight this year, and that's very. When I see that, bro, prophetically, one of the things that I know for a fact, and that I celebrate as far as a season we're in right now, is that there are eight women prophets listed in the Bible. Okay. So there's actually eight. There's eight of them. And what does that mean? It means the prophetic voice of women rising. That there's a prophetic word for women and a prophetic word from women that is rising right now. And you're actually right in alignment with that. It's incredible.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, we're starting our eighth year as a church, and the Lord told me that that eight was significant as part of our new beginnings, and I'll add that to our repertoire. The eight prophetic women.
Hey, listen, man, I have a book called Numbers That Preach, and I encourage you to read it. Shameless plug.
Buy Troy's book. Invite Troy to speak at my church. Got it. I'm making a list right now.
Don't forget. Friends, you are listening to my good friend, Pastor Drew Neal from Generation One Church out of Detroit, Michigan. And he's doing an incredible work all over the world, making a tremendous difference. And I want to encourage you guys to look into his stuff. Brother Drew, if people just tell me what it is that you can get people plugged into, because I promise you, there's a lot of people that are driving down the road, listening to this on our 73 radio stations, or they're listening on a podcast and they're going, what? So tell us, what can people plug into get this into their church or into their lives or into their community?
Yeah. So first of all, I just love to equip people. I love duplicating what we're doing inside of other people, because this is just, I think this is who Jesus is. And so I believe Jesus was a solutionary. And I believe a solutionary is someone who adopts a people group. This is Discipling Nations 101. They adopt a people group. They dignify them with insurmountable value. And then they take on God's heart to solve their problems. Wow. And so I have a curriculum experience called Impact Discipling Nations, which teaches people how to be a solutionary. And I believe the superpower of the solutionary is the gift of words of wisdom. And so I go down through, and I have six major priorities within Impact, which is innovation, mobilization, purpose, activation, connection, and transformation, IMPACT. And I believe these are the priorities of the solutionary. And so I have a six-module training mechanism, and they can download it on my site. It's 25 hours of content for the cheap price of $125. But Troy, I'm passionate to raise up this generation of solutionaries. And for me, discipleship is a personal thing. And so I'd love to invite people to go to the Caribbean with me. To visit the Pearl of the Antilles, also known as the nation of Haiti. And I'm doing a weekend of solutionary training on the coast. We're in a resort, Wi-Fi, air conditioning, ocean view. It's beautiful. And I have international trainers from the UN, some of the largest missions organizations in the world that are discipling through government, business, education, you name the sphere. They're working in it and turning governments upside down for the goodness of the kingdom of God and for the goodness of its citizens. Remarkable trainers coming in. It's 4 days, February 12th through February 16th. They can go to drewneal.com to get more information about it. But I'd love for people to come away, and I'd love to equip you for a weekend and teach you how to be a solutionary and use these words of wisdom to solve the world's greatest problems.
All right. So they go to drewneal.com. Is that what they do?
Go to drewneal.com and just click the study abroad tab at the top.
Okay. Hey, listen, before we hang up here, I know that you and I spoke about this before we did this, but next year, every single year I do a huge prophetic event that's called the New Beginnings. I've done this for 25 years where I bring the prophetic word for the year to come. And this next year is 2020. And I want to tell you, I have been looking forward to 2020 for over 20 years. The Lord told me, I want to say sometime in the late 1990s, God told me, Troy, keep your eye on the year 2020. And that phrase, keep your eye on the year 2020, has always stuck with me because, 2020 is perfect vision, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was recently with Patricia King, and she told me that Bob Jones told her 20 years ago, keep your eye on the year 2020. And I said, oh my gosh, that's a prophetic phrase, man, that I have had for several decades. I've been waiting for this prophetic hour to show up. So what I'm doing is we're doing a big prophetic event in downtown Fort Worth. We have, it's a 10,000 seat auditorium. Patricia's coming in. Jamie Galloway's coming in. Rabbi Jason Sobel, Robert Henderson, me. I'm actually speaking with Chuck Pierce. I think that Chuck Pierce is going to show up as well. We're all going to be delivering our prophetic word for the year. But at that same exact time, we're going to have a special luncheon that is just for business leaders, a prophetic business leaders luncheon, and you're gonna come out to it. So what kind of stuff can people expect, man? If you make it out there for that, what kind of stuff can people expect for that?
Well, I really think that God is that there is a wealth redistribution happening in the kingdom of God right now, but it's not coming because we're stealing the wealth of the wicked. It's coming because we're building structures that actually the wicked can't help but want to be a part of. And there is, there's this, and the Bible talks about that there's treasures in darkness. And for so long, the church has thought that the darkness was a descriptor of the treasure, but it's actually a locator of the treasure. And so the treasure isn't dark, it's in darkness, waiting for someone with light to come to discover it. And so one of my passions for business leaders right now is to really help them understand the times that we're in, about the fact that there are treasures around us that simply just need light, which is courage and permission to go out and find the treasures. And I tell you what, it's a time of promotion. It's a time for business not to be focused on making money, but really advancing the cause of the kingdom, and money and resource are going to follow that. And so would love to share with these business leaders at this event, what it looks like to get ready for this transfer of wealth that's coming, and making sure that the wineskins we're building are going to hold the new wines.
That is the huge word that I'm hearing right now, is it's all about new wineskins. I've heard that word before, but not at the level that I'm hearing it right now. I cannot get away from it, that it's time to change your structures. It's so important to change the wineskin, because there is a new wineskin being poured out. Well, Drew, I want to tell you, Pastor Drew, I bless you, my friend. What a great privilege to have you with me, man.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure, Troy, and I love what you're doing. I love your ministry. Honored to be a part of it, and we're going to get you here to Detroit, man. I got to get you up here and see what's going on.
Okay, man. Well, listen, I call you blessed, my friend. And remember, everybody, if you want to contact him, if you'd like to get any of his amazing resources for taking on hell with a water pistol, just simply go to drewneal.com. Brother Drew, I bless you. I bless Generation One Church. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you much. Thank you so much for joining me today. For all my friends that are listening right now all over the world, man, I call you guys the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.